You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Damn. It's just my voice, my tone
here we
of voice.
Go, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in with me. And, well, we had an eventful first hour. Scoop Stanton with a great report from behind enemy lines tonight as he went into CPAC, got press credentials, no less, and went out and even protested the very event that he was credentialed for. Hey, you got to love a guy for that. There's some pictures of that taking place, and we'll post that to thepoliticalcesspool.org, but protested for good reason. Now, so they're asking in the CFCC chat room, cfcc.org, we will not cover the Beyond Conservatism event. I'm just going to answer them on the air rather than on the chat. We won't cover the Beyond Conservatism event that took place at the National Press Club today. That was sponsored by the National Policy Institute. Richard Spencer, also speaking there, were Jared Taylor and Peter Brimelow, all three of them good friends of ours. The only reason we're not going to be covering that event tonight is because it's still in session. Jared and Richard are having a dinner tonight in honor of Sam Francis, the former reporter for the Washington Times, columnist, I guess he was, that passed
editorialist,
away back in 2005. And so they're all incapacitated right now. So we're not going to be talking about that tonight, but we will hear all about it next week. Now, that being said, and I'm going to say this very quickly because there's some points that I'd like to tack on to the end of this that I'd like Keith to comment on. First of all, though, the Political Cesspool's first quarter fundraising drive for 2015 is underway. Now, you know we are under attack every week, relentlessly, by the media, hate groups, Congress, you name it, for offering a spoken defense of Western civilization and European man so sincere and polished that it causes our reputation to grow each week. The stakes have been raised as a result of our ability to win the hearts and minds of the public. The opposition against us grows, and make no mistake about it, what we're doing here is making a difference, and Washington has taken notice. Now, this is the worst part of my job. I hate it. I hate the months, the 4 months of the year that we have to engage in these quarterly fundraising drives. I hate asking. I hate having to ask, but if we don't ask, this show goes away. And we may never know the full impact of the political cesspool. I mean, there's so much we can draw from that proves that we're making a big and tangible difference in the hearts and minds of not only listeners, but people in positions of power all across the country and around the world. You know, those are things that we can measure. But who's to say there are people out there being inspired by our work that will never mention us publicly that are going to go on to do good things? Maybe this representative in Tennessee. Who knows? But all I know is this. Whatever good we do won't happen without the support of our listening audience. You know, here we are, a nationally syndicated show, barely enough to scrape by. And I wish we only had to do two fundraising drives a year. It takes four to keep us going because by the fourth month, we're so low on reserves, we barely have enough to turn the lights on here at the radio station. But as always, we have special incentives for those who donate. Now, we hope to still be here in April. April is Confederate History Month. We're planning on it. It's dependent upon your support, of course. But in April, we'll do our Confederate History Month, God willing, our annual series. And the incentive gift for those who contribute this month through the end of March, March 31st is when the first quarter fundraising drive ends, is something that will help prepare you for our Confederate History Month series. It is a book entitled Rebel Wisdom. Now, if you can be one of our big money contributors, and if you can give $100 or more to the Political Cesspool before the end of March, you want to go ahead and do it tonight, that'd be okay. You're going to get Rebel Wisdom. Now, contained within this unforgettable book, you're going to find speeches and quotes from some of the best and least known Confederate heroes that truly captures the spirit of the Southern secessionists and exemplifies their quest for real freedom from tyranny. That's a must-have for every TPC fan. Confederates, quotes from some of the biggest and least known Confederates, And you're going to get a copy of the Confederate Constitution and the South Carolina Declaration of War just in time for our Confederate History Month series in April. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. Donate $100 or more. It's yours. And you'll get a copy of the Occidental Quarterly as well, the most recent edition. So we need it. We can't survive without it. That's just the way it is. I can't be any more clear than that. But I would like to say this. I posted last week, you know, Keith went to Ole Miss. That's his alma mater. And I posted last week a heartbreaking YouTube video depicting the last time the Ole Miss marching band played Dixie on that campus. Here's a little history behind it, and I'll let Keith fill in the blanks. With the outbreak of Lincoln's War in 1861, classes at the University of Mississippi were interrupted when the entire student body enlisted into the Confederate Army. The entire student body at the University of Mississippi enlisted in the cause. Their company, Company A, which was the 11th Mississippi Infantry, was nicknamed the University Grays. It suffered a 100% casualty rate. 100%. Today, all expressions of Southern pride have been outlawed at Ole Miss. But you can watch at our website an emotional video a few years ago that captures the Ole Miss band playing Dixie for the last time there on that campus. Keith, that is a campus, a university founded by Confederate veterans. 100% of the student body enlisted in the war. Every one of them died, but they're not good enough to be remembered at Ole Miss anymore.
Well, it's a shame, and it bespeaks the power of political correctness. Political correctness succeeded where prior efforts to divest us of our heritage failed. The common wisdom, at least in my childhood, about it was that the South won the first Reconstruction but lost the second Reconstruction. The second Reconstruction, how was it different from the first? One word, Jews. Jews were not in America in sufficient numbers before 1877 to really direct anything. But after the second great wave of immigration, beginning in the 1890s to about the 1920, brought over basically the Ashkenazi Jewish contingent that is in charge of America today. That's when things started to change, and they are, as we have said time and again on the political cesspool, the yeast that makes the dough rise in modern liberalism. In fact, they own conservatism, at least neoconservatism. That is their invention. As well today, CPAC was basically a Jewish production, this so-called conservative gathering of conservative thinkers and conservative groups is, I guarantee you, more controlled by Jewish interests than any other ethnic or racial group. Now, Ole Miss has a lot of ambitious people in it, just like any college and university. Professors know that if they are considered to be on the wrong or the politically incorrect side of any particular issue, it could be deadly to their aspirations. That's how political correctness works, ladies and gentlemen, and it worked at Ole Miss, and they're trying to make it work in your life as well. We'll have more on this after these words from our sponsors.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Having so much fun in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat in honor of the Political Cesspool's live broadcast that it's hard to even host the program. You know, we're just having a party in there. We want to invite you to join us, ladies and gentlemen, cfcc.org. We're about at our capacity, but try to get in there. Okay, so we don't want to continue to talk too much about the South and the Confederacy right now because, you know, that's what we do in April and Confederate History Month, but it's never an inappropriate time to talk about it, obviously. But I was saying that, and I'm going to toss it back to you, Keith, but I was saying that our incentive for the March fundraiser, which kicked off on Wednesday, the anniversary of Bill Rowland's passing, we kicked it off on Wednesday a few days early. It will run all the way through March. If you donate $100 or more before March 31st, you're going to get this book, Rebel Wisdom, which is a collection of quotes from Confederates, both famous and not so well known, that it's just a must-have item for Political Cesspool fans. But I posted that for you last week, Keith. It was sent in to us from Kim in Missouri of the Ole Miss band playing Dixie one last time before it was outlawed there on this campus, you know, founded by Confederates, people who gave their life for the Confederate cause. They should be remembered there, if anywhere. And there's one more thing I want to say. I was watching on Netflix this week a movie called The Field of Lost Shoes, and it documents the Battle of Newmarket. And it's not as good as Gods and Generals. I mean, they put some things in there that are supposed to make you think poorly of the South. But overall, it's fairly well done. And it certainly, in many ways, depicts the South in a favorable light. But here's the thing. So here's the Battle of Newmarket, which was one of the last battles of the war. I mean, it was in 1864 anyway, May of 1864. So they were coming down the home stretch then. So this is the battle where the kids at the Virginia Military Institute, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 15, 16-year-olds going out there and fighting against seasoned Union veterans, and the South routed them at the Battle of Newmarket. I mean, these were kids going out there, had never been in battle before, and they went out and they whooped the Yankees there. And the leader, the general who commanded the Confederate Army in that battle was John C. Breckinridge, who was the former vice president of the United States. So this is a former vice president out there commanding kids in battle against the Union. And also, of course, people there were direct descendants of Thomas Jefferson. You know, they gave up something. They, you know, the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, was a former United States senator. They all walked away from something for something greater. And even though they lost, their dignity and their integrity and their honor was worth more than serving a dishonorable cause. And that's the way we feel here at the Political Cesspool. We all could have achieved more in terms of worldly possessions and money had we sold out. We would have been better off, but the cause wouldn't.
Is this the same Breckinridge that ran for president in 1860, along with Stephen Douglas, Abraham Lincoln, and, who is the other one that ran?
It must have been. I mean, he was the former vice president.
Right. So anyway, that tells you the type of people that were leading the Confederacy even to the very end. Now, we have had it pointed out by groups like the SPLC as if it were some badge of shame that almost all of us associated with the political cesspool, at least the original group, had ancestors that fought for the Confederacy. I certainly did, and I certainly will own that. In fact, today I hung up a picture of Nathan Bedford Forrest in my home, in a hall in the interior of my home, where I honor all of my ancestors who served in the military. My father in World War II, he was a veteran of the Battle of the Bulge. Also, my great-grandfather, I.E.S. Alexander, who was in the 15th Tennessee Cavalry, part of Forrest Cavalry, and fought up to the very end. In fact, I have his discharge paper there next to a picture of I.E.S. Alexander and a picture of Nathan Bedford Forrest. So we don't run from our heritage. We embrace our heritage because we know what our heritage truly is. We don't rely upon the mainstream media to tell us what our ancestors were fighting for. We've done the research ourselves. We know what the Civil War was about. It's about the same thing that is happening now. The people in Red State America, which the analogous group would have been the Confederate States of America back in 1860, were tired of being commissared by a federal government that had fallen under the irreversible control of their political enemies, and they were looking for a way out. They did not want to live under tyranny any more than we do today.
Well, Keith, very well said. And here's the thing. You know, we were talking about CPAC earlier. You know, one of the greatest Republican fundraisers each year, especially here in Tennessee and in Shelby County, is the Lincoln Day Dinner. I mean, here they are, the Republican Party, you know, honoring a war criminal and a tyrant like Abraham Lincoln. You know, what kind of conservative was he? This is what it's all about. You know, this is their great hero.
Abraham Lincoln was not the great emancipator. He was the great maven of big government. He didn't want America split in two because he wanted America to be a large, populous, and wealthy nation that could cast a big shadow and could have a big influence on international affairs. Forget the fact that is directly against the wishes of the founding fathers of America, particularly George Washington, who in his farewell address told the American people that the surest way to destroy our republic would be to fight foreign wars and to develop favorite nation status with any foreign nation, i.e. Israel.
I didn't even intend to spend two segments talking about this. This would have been a great hour for our Confederate History Month series coming up in April, assuming we have enough money to pay the bills by then, which we're hopeful. Hey, listen, for 10 years, four times a year for 10 years.
They've always come through for us.
I should never doubt it. But until it happens, it hasn't happened. And so we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of people have already given. We need a lot more to get to the finish line before March 31st. And so we'll be hopeful that trends will continue. But we're in the CFCC chat right now, the Political Cesspool online chat hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens, I guess I should say. And Crafty says, right you are, Keith, Breckinridge was the Southern candidate in the election of 1860. So, hey, if we don't know the answer, our fans do.
Look, everything we do because of you and our listening audience. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, everybody that's listening. We have the most intelligent audience of any radio show or television show or media event or outlet in the world. I truly believe that.
Hear, hear. And, you know, I just received a call in between the commercial break separating the hours, the first and second hour, from our station manager here at our local affiliate, you know, saying that he was listening to the show tonight and how great it is. You know, it's just a family. And, you know, and never before was it so embodied as it was at our 10-year anniversary. It was so palpable there. But we truly have a family and a loving connection and a bond, and we're comrades in arms, and we're going out and we're fighting, and we're we're fighting in a way that subjects us to a lot of attack. Hey, that's okay. Our ancestors suffered worse. Hey, if they can sacrifice blood and bone, we can be called silly names. It's not the worst that could happen, and we'll suffer a lot worse than that if we have to.
Well, let me suggest this. You were talking about what had happened at Ole Miss between 1860, when the entire student body enlisted in the Confederate Army and they were all casualties, versus today's Ole Miss, where any celebration of the Confederacy has been forbidden. And let me just say this. Kim, who sent us that tape or that
the video of the Ole Miss band.
YouTube video on Ole Miss playing Dixie for the last time. We've met her and her husband and her lovely family. They're beautiful people. They are the type of people that we are proud to say are part of our audience.
Let me say, I'll give a little more detail. They live in Missouri. They are in their 30s. I think they have five children now. They homeschool. They home church. This is the kind of people
and
that
they grow their own food.
They grow their own food. These are the kind of people that don't have representation in this country. There are people. We love them. We die for them. We're out here fighting for them right now. When we come back, we're going to get back in the political cesspool with a story that was tailor-made for this. Oh, my goodness, folks. You don't want to hear this, but you sure can't miss it. So stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I just did it in the chat room there at cfcc.org. By the way, if you're not there, come on in. Dave, there in the chat room, just donated to the political cesspool, and I want to thank him publicly for doing so. Together, we make it all happen. And while you've got your credit cards open, ladies and gentlemen, another person who have sacrificed greatly for our cause is Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Richard Mack. GoFundMe.com, help Sheriff Mack. I mentioned that very briefly at the end of the first hour. Sheriff Mack, who single-handedly challenged the Brady Bill in the U.S. Supreme Court, he's the head of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He suffered a heart attack not long ago, and he doesn't have insurance. And listen, he's been out there on the front lines just like us, fighting on...
Fighting the good fight.
Somewhat similar ground, but he attacks it from a different... front, but listen, we're all in this together. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is not here tonight, but Eddie donated to Sheriff Mack in the first hour of the show, so keep that in mind, and we'll post something to our website about that as well. I want to remind you that once upon a time, you may not remember this, but there used to be only two genders, male and female. Now, those days are long gone, and there was only one sexual orientation that was not associated with some sort of a mental or physical illness. But thanks to all of the progress we're making as a society, those days are long gone and more options are available to us to choose from. So here's the thing, Keith. Now, this is being endorsed not only by popular dating websites, but also by so-called doctors. Here's the scoop. Dating websites have begun rolling out new gender and sexuality options for its users. In addition to woman and man, the site's gender options now include agender, androgynous, bigender, gender fluid, gender queer, intersex, non-binary, pangender, transfeminine, transgender. I'm trying to read this seriously and report this. Transmasculine, transsexual, and two-spirit. All right, but hang on. Meanwhile, those are the genders you could choose from. Did you catch all that, Keith?
My mind is boggled. I can't possibly guess what some of these things mean, but you'll have to educate me.
Those are the list of genders that you can choose from. You used to think it was just male and female. Well, that just goes to show what a racist you are. Meanwhile,
bigot.
Well, I mean, they're all interchangeable. They mean nothing. Yeah, yeah. So you can be a racist and believe that there's only man and woman, I guess. It's as good as any definition I've heard. Meanwhile, expanded options for sexuality include, listen to me now here, folks, heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, asexual, demisexual.
Why are asexual people wanting to hook up at a dating site?
Hang on, Keith. Heteroflexible, homoflexible, lesbian, pansexual, and queer. Now, you might be asking yourself, what's the difference between a homosexual and a queer? Well, I ask myself that. I guess they could just put anything goes. But here's another one. Sapiosexual. Now, I actually looked that one up because I was like, okay, now what is this? Sapiosexual. Sapiosexual is defined as one who finds intelligence an attractive feature. So you couldn't possibly be attracted to a woman who is intelligent. No, you are a sapiosexual. But apparently there's a difference between homosexual and queer, Keith. I never knew that.
Well, artificial intelligence. But let me tell you, this is, what is an asexual? How do they reproduce? They split in two or something, like a one-celled organism or something? What?
I mean, but here's the thing, though. This is no more ludicrous. As ludicrous as this is, and it is as ludicrous as it gets, it's no more ludicrous than interracial couplings were to our grandfathers. It's no more ludicrous than homosexual was to me and to my generation. But it's anything that takes away from God-ordained procreation and marriage. Anything that can distract from that, they're going to push. But listen, Facebook this year, now Facebook's the number one website in the world. They added a new option with 50 different terms that people can use to identify as their gender or sexuality. 50 different terms. I only read like 20 there, and it sounded like it took me forever. So all of this is progress, Keith. Makes you glad you lived this long, doesn't it?
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad that I'm not in the thick of the dating scene right now, because I wouldn't how in the world do these people – I guess they do need a computer in order to hook up with like-minded people or like-gendered people or like impulsed people, I guess, because I doubt that the mind has very little to do with this.
What's agender?
A person that has no gender. It's like androgynous.
Well, no, androgynous was a separate option.
Well, I know. Well, that, you know.
I guess it has to be.
There must be duplication and overlap in all these things, but this is the craziest stuff I've ever heard of. But, you know, it's all very reasonable when you consider the origins of cultural Marxism. Back in the 50s, Herbert Marcuse, the primary popularizer of cultural Marxism in the United States, said that women, the marriage, monogamous marriage, one man, one woman marriage, till death do you part, was a trap, a prison, devised for women by a male-dominated society and religious culture. And that if women wanted to be truly free, they would reject monogamy and embrace sexual lives of what he termed polymorphous perversity. What, pray tell, is polymorphous perversity? It is any type of sex that does not lead to procreation, which reminds me of a saying that I recall from my youth, which was anything except the real thing ain't nothing but a jack-off. Apparently, that's what they're interested in.
Choked on my bottle of water with that one.
But anyway, this is what it is. See, sex for recreation, not procreation. Any type of sex that is not going to lead to reproduction of human life, which would be anything from bestiality to homosexuality to all these other various and sundry, they have more flavors than Howard Johnson's used to.
Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah, right. But that's what they're promoting, and they're promoting it. They're promoting sex as a means of pleasure and gratification rather than in its God-ordained role as being the way that our species reproduces itself. In fact, if you talk to these people, they are quick to point out that with sperm banks now, male-female sexuality is just superfluous. It's not necessary anymore. They can go to the sperm bank. Two homosexual women can do that and reproduce life just as well as a man and a woman can. And they say they would say even better because they can choose everything that they want. It's like going to a car dealership and ordering all the accessories that you want, at least to hear them talk about it. So this is a brave new world we're living in, James, and it gets more and more bizarre by the moment.
You haven't even heard bizarre yet. You think that was bizarre? I haven't even posted onto the website. Now, that thing about all the different sexual genders and orientations, I posted that, I think,
inclinations,
on Tuesday.
Whatever. Kinks.
Listen, that's nothing. That's not even the next frontier in social justice. I'm going to get to that in the next segment.
Get your freak on.
Listen, you think you've heard absurd in this segment. I'm going to take you to the next level in the next segment. And things that are being recognized by doctors, so-called doctors. But I'm just telling you.
The mainstream of Bruce Jenner.
You know, we wore Bruce out last week. Well, I mean, listen. I mean, come on. That's
Bruce is behind the curve now. He's not on the cutting edge anymore.
I mentioned in the chat room that we're having right now that Bruce Jenner never had a wreck until he became a female driver.
Touche. That's a great one. I like that one, James.
But nevertheless, I mean, it all follows the template, and they've got us by the short and curlies. They all did this from the perceived moral high ground of social justice, and it started with radical feminism and interracial marriage, and now everything else that's come down from it, they're following the same template that they used to ramrod these down the throats of an unwilling and decent public. And that's what they're doing with the homosexual agenda. There's no way the churches are going to beat homosexuality because they've seated the
because they've let the camel's nose in the tent with liberalism regarding the civil rights movement.
That's right. Well, and we've talked about that time and time again. Listen, I haven't even gotten heinous yet, folks. That's coming next segment. Wait till you hear the next frontier in social justice. You're going to hear it on the political cesspool, and you're not going
to
believe it.
Come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Some of you might be wondering, just what is the Get Prepared Expo? The Get Prepared Expo is designed to help everyone survive tornadoes, snowstorms, ice storms, earthquakes, and God forbid, a real terrorist attack. Are you ready? Have you thought through all the scenarios? At the Get Prepared Expo, you'll meet exhibitors who will help you prepare and survive and learn what you need. Included in your all-day passes are one-hour seminars on water filtration, cooking and heating without electricity, wood, or any kind of fuel, the all-important survival garden, and growing food with heirloom seeds, radiation detection and radiation survival. There are over 60 seminars at the Get Prepared Expo. Think of it as a college preparedness degree in a weekend. Get Prepared Expos are taught by preparedness leaders, authors, medical doctors, and radio personalities. Bring your questions. We have the answers. We hope to see you the last weekend in March, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Southerners, you know, before we get back into this, I got to ask, you know, we did, 30 minutes on the South, and, you know, I thought a pretty passionate commentary on the cadets from VMI fighting in the Battle of New Market, and we talked about the last stand at Ole Miss and all of these things, and we've gotten a couple of donations here during the break, and we had one from, I don't even know how to pronounce that word, Massapequa, New York? Massapequa, New York, and Baldwin, New York. Southerners, you know, come on. I'm very proud of the diversity of our audience. And a listener to New York, to me, is as fine as one anywhere, but, I mean, what's going on here, Keith?
Shows that the principles upon which the Confederacy was founded are universal.
There you go.
And that's it was not about slavery. That is a big lie perpetrated on an entire generation of people worldwide, but it's a big lie. It's not true, okay? Slavery is on its way out because, as Harriet Beecher Stowe, the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, noted after the war when she married a Southerner and lived on a plantation in Florida, she said there was never any need to have a war to end slavery because the capitalist class learned that wage slavery was cheaper than chattel slavery. End of point. Yeah, it was slavery was outlawed everywhere in the Western Hemisphere by, I think, 1885 without any other war. And this war was not about slavery except in the eyes of a few zealots.
It's become that's what it's for, so that you can browbeat whites and instill white guilt. I mean, whites ended slavery. It was on the way out in the South. It wasn't fought over that. Even Lee had written against it in some regards. But
mechanization did it. It wasn't the result of, you know, some great moral awakening on the part of people generally. It was down to dollars and cents. It was just cheaper to have wage slavery than it was chattel slavery. You had in chattel slavery, you had to care for people from the moment they were born until the moment they died. In wage slavery, if they're not working for you, forget about them. Wash your hands up.
Everybody, we've said this 100 times on this show, every race across the spectrum of humanity has suffered slavery. They've been enslaved or practiced it at one point or another. Slavery still exists today exclusively in non-white countries, but nobody gives a damn because you can't shake down those people. You can't get reparations and quotas and set-asides and affirmative action out of, you know, those
white
places.
People have the pathological altruism gene. No other group has them. That's why they focus entirely on white slavery of non-white people. And the very veritable tip of the iceberg of slavery throughout the world. In fact, Europeans were more often than not the enslaved rather than the slaveholders when it came to slavery throughout the entire sweep of history. In fact, the word slave is derived from the word for Southeastern Europeans, Slavs.
There you go. I mean, how about that? When's the last time you heard about that on CNN, MSNBC, even Fox? I mean, only on the Political Cesspool, only on the Liberty News Radio Network. That's why we need your support. Now, getting back to what we were talking about in the last segment, we were talking about all of these different genders and sexual orientations from which you can choose when you're creating your online dating profile now. It's no longer two genders and one normal sexual orientation. It's like 50 of each. But that's not even the new frontier of social justice. I mean, you can already see the day when pedophilia is legalized based upon the template they use for interracial marriage and homosexual marriage, bestiality, all that's coming. But that's not even – think bigger, folks, when you want to find the next frontier.
Let's get beyond sex. Now, sex is just part of the life experience or the human experience. Now, we're transforming or we're transitioning into – non-human identities.
This is what Keith's getting at. That's right. Think bigger. Now, the left will tell you
outside the box.
We're all made of stardust anyway, so why can't we be trans species? That's where we're going, folks. That's where we're heading with all this progress. People can believe they're born into the wrong gender or wrong race or wrong sexual orientation.
Why not the wrong species?
Why not the wrong species? You know, what does it mean? Now, there are people who believe, and this is gaining traction in the scientific, so-called scientific community, that they were born as wolves or elves, born into a human body.
Characters in the Zelda video game.
Well, that's right. One person says that he's actually a Japanese wood creature from The Legend of Zelda who was born into the body of a normal human. Trans ethnicity. Hey, listen, that's where we're going, and this is documented. There's this girl here who says she is a wolf mistakenly put into the body of a human, and she wears a collar and she has a tail and she chases birds, and she says, you know, when she's around You know, when she sees a wolf, you know, she really feels at one with them. And the day will come. Now, you laugh at this. Now, this is ridiculous, right? We're going to post this article to our website next week. We haven't quite put it there yet, but this is what's coming on. Now, it says
it is
some of these people are actually ostriches and cats and all of these things, but they were born into human form, but they actually identify as dogs and wolves and other, you know, cartoon characters. That's who they really are. And who's to say that they're not? Because if you can say Bruce Jenner's really a woman, his anatomy be damned. Who's to say that these people aren't really wolves or elves? And who's to say that, you know, hey, you can't you see the day you saw the Tom Hanks movie Big? You know, who's to say that this, you know, 40-year-old isn't really a kid, you know, mistakenly transformed into a 40-year-old, you know? Yeah, he was having sex with, you know, 15-year-olds, but he wasn't 40. He was really 15 in his mind, and so that's what we got to go by.
If only O.J.'s lawyers had had the you know, benefit of these types of theories when they were crafting his defense. See, it is ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous. See, I remember a vignette we had on this show some time ago about a woman in France that married a stone bridge.
She married a bridge.
Now, you
and
know,
the mayor said it was legit.
And we're all supposed to accept this with a straight face and nod solemnly to all this total inanity and total nonsense. Don't tell Bruce Jenner that he can now not only morph into a woman, he can morph into a wolf, or he can morph into a character from The Legend of Zelda.
And somebody nailed it here, Nova Aria in the chat. What these people consider themselves to be are otherkins. Otherkins. And you can look it up. Do a Google search for otherkin. It's all over YouTube. It's all over the internet. And it's gaining traction. And how can they deny these people from identifying as wolves or elves or cartoon characters or anything else that they want to if they allow Bruce Jenner to say he's really a female? And, you know, how do you draw the line? Where's the line in? Listen, your children will see the day when this girl will be acknowledged as a wolf if she wants to be.
And, of course, they'll browbeat the American Psychological Association into declaring that this is not neurotic or psychotic behavior on the part of these people. It is perfectly normal and natural. And we, the benighted straight people of the world, had better get used to it. We're going to have to share our space with these people. We're going to have a whole new raft of affirmative action coming in for people who believe they're wolves, apparently. That, you know, the left is insane. The left is utterly insane.
I think that sums it up more than anything else we could say. I mean, that sums it up in what the left is. In the four words. The left is insane. That's it. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, that should be the end of it, but unfortunately it's not.
Al Sharpton will be on this bandwagon shortly.
Well,
sure.
We've seen these 6'8" men playing basketball on girls' college teams because they say that they're really females. And, you know, we've talked about that years ago. You know, this has been going on. You got these men, they've got all the anatomy and strength of a man, but they say they're actually, you know, women. I mean, yeah, sure, they have a penis, but, you know, what's that to say?
Well, you know, that can go. That's dispensable, as Bruce has proven.
Well, but they get in there?
I remember when Renee Richards, who was a just, you know, ordinary country club tennis player, when he was Richard Richards or whatever his name was, he got the transgender surgery, became Renee Richards, joined the women's pro tour and went to the top of it.
I got to laugh at something. I'm watching the political cesspool chat there hosted at CFCC.org. Lost Hillbilly writes, Billy, do you take this woman as your wife? Bah.
Because I now pronounce you man and sheep.
Yeah, I mean, it's all coming. If they can get this far, I mean, there's nothing. They never said they could.
I mean, talk about polymorphous perversity. Marcusa has succeeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams. I mean, in a fever-deluded nightmare, he cannot have dreamt that ideas as absurd as his would, again, you know, just take over our society and culture. Let's snap out of it, people. Let's tell these people they're full of it, and let's recapture our society and our culture before we go over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
I got to say hello to Barry in New Boston, Texas. Southerner on the board here tonight in this segment. A big ticket donor, too, at $100. That's one of the big ones. And he's going to be getting that book, Rebel Wisdom. I tell you, there's a lot more wisdom in Rebel Wisdom, this book we're going to be sending out to the donors.
And these leftist college professors that are backing speciesism and Zeldaism and everything else that we're hearing about tonight.
Lord have mercy, folks. The world we live in. Hey, we make sense of it. This is why the show's named Political Cesspool. We got to deal with stories like this. It makes me feel dirty even to talk about it. I got to go home after this and take a shower before I can get in bed with my wife after talking about stuff like this. We're going to talk about the Oscars when we come back. I guess we're going to go from bad to worse, so stay tuned.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.